religious and your visitors and parishioners. I would like to speak today about one of Spokane's best kept secrets, and that is the monthly rosary procession we have during the summer months on the 13th of the month. And I say that's one of the Spokane's best kept secrets because, to my knowledge, the local media has completely and totally ignored us for over 15 years that we've been doing this. Maybe it's getting closer to 20 years. And surely this is newsworthy. So, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, if the media ever did talk about us, then I stand corrected. But to my knowledge, it's never happened. Which leads me to speculate, why is it that it's so ignored? After all, doesn't the human, or doesn't the media look for, you know, human interest stories? And surely, this is a human interest story, because typically on a hot day, warm day, in the midst of people having their fun at Riverfront Park, all of a sudden comes this long line of people praying the rosary and having participated many times. I'm sure I feel as you can feel all the stares upon us as we honor Our Lady with this powerful prayer, the rosary. In Little Spokane, this is quite unusual. I'm reminded of something that Father Dennis, God rest his soul, said. It was with some exaggeration, speaking about the craziness of things that go on in the streets of New York. He said it's probably one of the few places in the world where you can kneel down on the pavement and pray the rosary or the boundary of your arms outstretched, and nobody would grab an eye. All kinds of things go on there. But we're not New York City. We're Spokane. And so in the midst of people's fun, there's this two file of people walking through, praying Our Fathers and Hail Marys. And just have to imagine what's going on in people's minds. What are those people doing? Now, I'm sure there are some Catholics that witness us. And even decent people, perhaps, that aren't Catholics, they're impressed favorably. These people are standing up for something. And they can hear that Our Father, which everybody should know, but then they hear the Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, the angelic salutation. And what a contrast. I mean, don't go to Riverfront Park to expect to see a prayer rally, but there it is. It's going on. So people wonder what we're doing. But I think they realize that we're standing up for something very special. Standing up for our Blessed Mother that we have to pay. And we are paying a price. We're taking time out of our busy schedules, or maybe enjoyable activities we would have liked to have done. And we dress up, ladies and girls, in their modest dress, as opposed to the half-clothed women and girls that so often are around there. And then we need to wear long pants so we can make a little sacrifice as appropriate when we defend Our Lady's rosary. But what we are doing is we are paying a price because somebody has to do it. We live in a world of very little prayer. And no wonder Our Lady at Fatima said that the solution to the war problem, the problem of war, is the rosary. So we are actually building world peace. And what if we weren't willing to do that? Where we have time for other things, but not time to go downtown and endure the spirits of all the onlookers, then many fewer graces would flow. Our Lady of Rosary wouldn't be said in public with fervor and as a public witness of the Catholic faith. We will only know in heaven, I'm sure, how many people will have picked up their rosaries and prayed them because of our good example. We just don't know. We don't always seem to see results, do we? But it doesn't matter. At least not in so far as our decision of other people. I'm reminded also of something as we make that walk in honor of Our Lady. I'm reminded of something that inspired Father Dennis when he went on pilgrimage to the Holy Land quite a number of years ago, and he talked about this in his last sermon here on Passion Sunday during Lent in 1995. And he talked about how when he and this group of pilgrims went to Jerusalem, their tour guide, who was a devout Catholic, said, he had told them we knew the way of the cross, but then that morning he says, I'm going to show you the way of love. And that really impressed Father Dennis to know that. He hadn't heard it put that way before. And of course it was the way of love. All those jeerings at our Lord, all of the blows that were given to him, is falling down beneath the cross. The few acts of kindness that were given to him by St. Veronica, the women who wept over him. It was a way of love, but a way of infinite love. And Jesus was willing to pay that price because that's what it took to redeem us. And so I think as we do that rosary march, it is a way of love. We love our Blessed Mother, that's why we're there. We love our sinful, or the sinful world in which we live. We want to help make it better. We want to help make a difference. And we're willing to pay the price. And you know, if we ever got jeered and pelted with things, then our love for Our Lady would really have its test. Would we be willing? So, as I said, it is a very powerful statement that we make. And we'll only know in eternity how much good came from it. I can't help but think about that sometimes of walking around, walking along, praying the rosary. Oh, by the way, we have got a few cat calls. I remember when a young lady on the bicycle drove by and hit what she kept saying. It was almost like a mantra. She was trying to interfere with praying our rosary. So I'll just repeat that a little bit. But maybe we'll find out one day that a nuclear bomb was not dropped on Spokane because of all the prayers for peace that led up from the heart of the city. Not from the city itself, because it's not very prayerful, but from those who do understand what's at stake. Those who understand the power of the rosary. And those who love Our Lady enough pleased with the turnout. 2 days ago, it was like definitely one of the largest groups we've ever had. Again, what a powerful statement. Priests, nuns, brothers, lay people, older people, younger people, children, toddlers in their strollers. I'm not here to pat anybody on the back, but maybe I am. What a great thing that is. It shows people who are living their faith. It's not just something for older people. Everybody needs young and old to save his or her soul. Everyone young and old needs to pray, and to pray mightily and well and long to get the graces that are needed. And we're not just there for ourselves. We're praying for this whole guilty, sinful world. We're calling out to our heavenly Queen and Mother. Make no mistake, she really loves procession. That was part of the message of the Lord's. Have processions in my honor, praying the rosary. I had the opportunity to be at Lourdes one time. I would say there was maybe 20, 30,000 people there. And this wasn't participating in non-Catholic worship. That would be not like the Lotus Orb or whatever, or other things like that. We weren't participating in that. We never would. But to just simply respond, praying the rosary, everybody in his own language. So it was a cacophony of sound. Everybody's, I mean, you've got people from all parts of the world praying the rosary. So each Hail Mary was led in a different language, or at least there's 8 or 9 languages, and everybody responds. And actually, I'm praying for the conversion of all these people. I was praying for the conversion of all the people around me to the traditional, to the true Catholic faith. And it does bring down graces. We just don't see the graces falling right in front of our eyes, and so we have to make that act of faith that what we are doing is bringing down grace. If we ever start doubting, we just have to open our catechisms, review our teachings of the Catholic Church. Prayer brings down grace. And even for somebody who's in sin, prayer is how he gets back into the state of grace. So the dogma could not be more clear and more abundantly taught. It's bringing down grace upon ourselves and others. So I'm grateful that we are being thankful to this. And we'll know eternity. When hopefully you persevere in grace and make it before the throne of our heavenly Queen and Mother, and we will see her smile. It's something beyond all description. Her approval of all that we did to not only practice devotion to her, but to spread that to others. Today is her greatest of feasts. We know that she sits at the right hand of her Son, and she enjoys a greater reward than any other human creature. Of course, she did not have to fight sin. She did not have to fight temptation as we do, because her nature was not fallen. She never had original sin, she never committed any of her own sin. So she didn't have that struggle. But the suffering that she was asked to endure, which is beyond all comprehension for us, she said yes to that. And for that, she is being rewarded as Queen of Heaven and Earth, as Mother of God. So we rejoice with her. Pious tradition tells us that when Our Lady was assumed into heaven, I believe it was some 20 years after Jesus had died, and imagine require them having to wait that long to go to heaven. She longed to be with Jesus so much, and yet that was the sacrifice God wanted of her, to stay and strengthen the apostles, to strengthen the early church. So after those 20 years or so after the redemption and ascension of our Lord into heaven, she was there. She went into her remission or her death, as some theologians believe she endured. And then, so great was the rejoicing that day, so great was God's munificence, that it's kind of like the idea of on a day of royal coronation, the sovereign might have coins tossed among all the people. Everybody's so happy. So I see it as that way, that purgatory was completely cleared out on Assumption Day. And pious tradition also tells us, this is going to be from private revelation, you don't have to believe it, but I don't see why it wouldn't be true, that every year on the Assumption that Our Lady takes out of purgatory the equivalent of the population of Rome, or at least as it was centuries ago. The Romans had millions of inhabitants for many a century. So this is the time of rejoicing today, and that's why we're here on this greatest of feasts. So this is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We praise God for His holy love. To acknowledge how well earned her reward is, that she never said no to God. She always said yes, no matter what that cost her sacrifice to her. There can't be anybody more faithful, more responsive to God than our Blessed Mother. And so we are rejoicing with her. We are praising God for all that He has poured out upon her. And never forget this, my dear brother, that as she sits at the right hand of her Son, He on His kingly throne and she on her queenly throne, that you can still go to that queen and call her mother. The angels can't. You ever thought about that? The angels have to say queen, and I have to. They very gladly say queen. But they can't say mother. You and I can and should. Persevere in grace so that you may be with your heavenly queen and mother and see. Without any intermediary, without having to make an act of faith, because you see it face to face at the door that she is enjoying. And remember, she wants you to be there with her, her subject, but also her child. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.